When the time comes to choose a new Lexus, never compromise on quality. Buy or lease your new Lexus at Spinelli Lexus.
Challenge the chill with Lexus all-wheel drive. Lease a 2022 RX350 premium all-wheel drive. Available for immediate delivery for $308 bi-weekly for 40 months from 4.5% with $73.78 down. It's the Lexus luxury experience offered from $60,258.
Spinelli Lexus, the address of choice for all automotive services.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Ho, ho, ho.
Join Santa and host Melissa Grello, Kelsey McEwen, and Tyrone Edwards for the one, the only, the original Santa Claus Parade. Saturday, December 3rd, only on CTV. Set your PVR.
Elias Mackos, CJAD 800.
Time to talk about the dark side, right? Elon Musk has been at the helm of Twitter for just about a month now. And what a month it's been. Since he acquired control of the social media giant, it's been nothing but endless chaos. Employees being fired left, right, and center. Subscription plans, getting a blue check mark for your account, a plan that then has to be put on the back burner. They're still rejigging it. Elon Musk seems to be going on a rampage, or he's just very, very busy. Now some of Twitter's most notorious villains, part of the Dark Force, the Dark Side, the Evil Empire, are making a comeback. Now Donald Trump, his account has been reinstated. He's not using it though, right? Donald Trump has his own social media company, but he's back on. You can go look at his tweets once again. Jordan Peterson, right? That's a controversial figure. Kathy Griffin are amongst those who have been welcomed back to the platform. What's going on with Twitter? 1 month in. Mitch Joel's with us, tech advisor, investor, and author of Control Alt Delete. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Are we having fun yet?
It's exciting, huh? It's fun to watch. Like, something new is happening, it seems, every moment. And Elon Musk is tweeting nonstop every day, so that always adds to it. And he's tweeting a lot about his company. So, Mitch, let me ask you this. 1 month in to the Elon Musk Twitter reign, is it enough time to actually start to begin to make some determinations on how we think this is playing out?
No, it's early days. I mean, what we're really seeing right now is a marketing and communications adventure of the highest order. Right? Trump would use things like outrage to raise money and uses Twitter. Now he's using Truth Social. Elon's doing very much the same thing. He's getting people to focus their attention on Twitter, and it's working. For all those people complaining to leave, they've had the largest number of new users and return users than they've had in years. And you can't buy this type of advertising and PR. The crazier the tweeting, the better, which is something we knew before Elon was doing it. I mean, including let's do a poll to see if Trump should come back on Twitter or not is a great PR escapade for them. So for all the negativity, I'm sure people are shaking their head saying this can't be good. Mm-hmm. It's driving a lot of attention to what was essentially a third-rate social media platform in terms of advertising revenue and innovation and business development.
So this is a company that had 7,500 employees. I think the last check is now it's somewhere around 2,000 after initial layoffs and then presenting everyone with a button. Do you want to work hard or leave? And then further layoffs after code reviews and all that kind of stuff, right? What does that do to the company? Because everyone said, oh, now they've got less than a couple of thousand employees. The site will collapse. It's still running. So on that end, slashing so many people from the workforce, what does that mean to you?
It's a clearing of the house. It's somebody who has been an investor in this company for over 5 years. It's someone who has a pedigree of not just engineering and coding platforms like PayPal, but has a lot of friends, colleagues, and employees on his own personal circle who are experts in engineering and understand what it takes to keep the platform going. I don't think he is firing in a way in which the platform collapses. In fact, he's joking about that on Twitter. I thought it was supposed to be gone by now, and clearly it's not. Got to remember, this is a company where the greatest innovation came many years ago, where they shifted from 140 characters to 280 characters. They've done acquisitions that haven't panned out, that haven't been fully integrated into it, that has evolved it. He is, if you cut through the noise, and actually there are many clips of him actually speaking to what he's trying to do, the areas he is trying to accomplish, he's accomplishing on in terms of a vision for what this can be in order for it to grow or become a part of something much bigger. It's very hard for people like you and I to armchair quarterback this and really understand it. I think people are also underestimating his knowledge, his understanding, the team he has around him that are technical wizards that understand this. And I think maybe we're overemphasizing the ego, crazy, and chaos, which I think is more attention and show versus realness.
Mitch, what do you think about the reinstatement of accounts? And there's been a more recent poll to, I think what he's saying, although I don't know if he's too clear about it, to reinstate basically anyone who's ever been suspended. An amnesty is what he's calling it. But maybe we can start off by what we know has happened. And that is, you know, the big figures, whether it's Donald Trump or it's Jordan Peterson or it's Kathy Griffin, the big figures that have, they've been told, okay, now you can go back to the platform. What is your take on that? Because I have some people saying, well, this is an indication the site will be turning into a hate speech site. And I have other people saying, well, you know what? If he wants to make a good advertising platform, there's going to have to be a solution here where advertiser stuff isn't showing up against hateful content. So what's your take?
I think we have legal definitions around phrases like hate speech and phrases like freedom of speech. And I think we use those words often as a translation for things I don't agree with, like, or think are wrong. So we need to let those battles be fought in the ways in which we can, whether it's legal, banning, based off of their own content moderation, etc. I'm someone who believes that we should try to forgive each other for stupid things we might have said in the past. And people might, you know, especially the U.S. Thanksgiving, maybe I'm feeling a little bit more sentimental about this. We need to understand that he is a libertarian. And he is not going to be swayed from a woke side or a right side or a left side one way or the other. He very much is nostalgic for the web of before, this wild web, this frontier that it was, and is probably trying to get closer to that while bringing all these voices to the table. You may not like Jordan Peterson, but until he does something that either goes against the terms of service of Twitter and or illegal, we have to endure, unfortunately, unless we change the laws or those terms of services. So I'm for it in the sense of unless they've done something that is egregious and they can't be brought back. At the same time, we have to always watch and moderate these public spheres where anybody can say anything and anybody can yell fire in a movie theater. We don't want that.
I have to wrap here, Mitch, but let me just ask you this quickly. After 1 month, is Twitter in better condition or worse condition than it was pre-Elon?
I'll tell you the truth. I don't think Twitter was doing much of anything pre-Elon. It was languishing, if not decreasing. It is amazing for me, as somebody who's passionate about technology and, more importantly, media, to see this much attention. Remember, let go of 3,000 people. Meta let go of over 11,000 people, and nobody said a word.
Mm-hmm. And Amazon was at 13,000.
And so, this is crazy stuff. Yeah. We're talking about Twitter because it's the sensationalism, not because of the real impact on the person.
Mitch, something to watch over the next year at least. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Elias.
Mitch Joel, tech advisor, investor, author of Control Alt Delete. When we return, Christopher Skeet's going to join us. He's the minister for the fight against racism in Quebec. And the Quebec government will appeal the racial profiling ruling that banned random police stops. He'll explain why next.
It's the pre-winter blitz. Have your vehicle protected from rust and book an appointment at rustproofing.com. Metropolitan Rust Proofing, a smart investment that really pays.
This newscast brought to you by Germaine LaRiviere's Black Friday Weeks. Get in on some crazy rebates on appliances, furniture, and mattresses. Live your craziest dreams. St. Hyacinth, Laval, and Distante.
Good morning. It's 11:01. I'm Tom Whalen for Trudy Mason with your CTV News Update. Our freezing rain warning has been lifted. It is raining and plus 4 downtown. Weather details in minutes. Here's what's making news. Montreal's new police chief says that random vehicle stops is an important tool for police, but that they have to be used cautiously. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on the stand at the Emergencies Act inquiry, and Federal Health Minister Jean-Yves Duclos says that 1 million units of children's pain medications are hitting the shelves in pharmacies, and that more are on the way. With the latest from the CJAD 800 Traffic Center, here's Catherine Wood.
In the West Island on the westbound 40 at the end of the Sources entrance, we have an accident. They've closed the on-ramp and they have only one lane open on the highway right now, so you're congested from Hymas as you try to make your way past there. Eastbound 40 is doing okay. Some extra volume up around DeCary Circle over to Stinson. Westbound Met slows on and off LaCordaire to DeCary. 20 is a good option for you to and from the West Island. Northbound DeCary has slowdowns Queen Mary up. Outbound Mercier Bridge looks good, but once you're off the bridge, the 138 is slow from the 207 past the Bingo Hall. And inbound, we're seeing some minor slowdowns in the 138 on-ramp. 13 North is heavy from Ari Barassa to the Bisson Bridge. Outbound LaFontaine Tunnel is backing to the 40. It's Via Rail's Black Friday sale. Book by November 29th to save 25% on your next train trip. Conditions apply. Details at viarail.ca. Next report, 11:15.
In the news, the Quebec government is going to court to appeal a judge's ruling that resulted in a ban of police carrying out random stops of vehicles. Appearing on CJAD 800's Elias Makos show this morning, Montreal's new chief of police, Fadi Degar, says he thinks that random stops can be an important tool, but that officers have to be trained to use the practice properly.
I think police officers, we still need that article, but I hope that we're going to be better trained to use it only in certain circumstances. If not, there's going to be more occasion of racial profiling.
Public Security Minister François Bonnardel and Minister responsible for the fight against racism, Christopher Skeet, will be holding a press conference this morning where they are expected to announce the challenge. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau testifying at the public inquiry into his government's decision to invoke the Emergencies Act. Mr. Trudeau arrived at the inquiry without much fanfare, entering the building through the parking garage, accompanied by security. He began his testimony by recalling the early days of the Freedom Convoy protests.
We certainly saw during the first weekend that the expectations that the police had said that they would simply go home, the ability to keep it under control was not exactly there.
Trudeau's testimony caps 6 weeks of hearings at the Public Order Emergency Commission. The provincial government pulled a 180 this morning and announced that the seasonal flu shot will be free for all residents of the province. About 10 days ago, Public Health Director Dr. Luc Boileau said there was no plan to make the flu shot free for all. Appearing this morning on the Andrew Carter Morning Show, CJAD 800 medical correspondent Dr. Mitch Schulman said that this year's version of the vaccine seems to be effective.
And the vaccine this year seems to be a good match. I haven't heard anything about miserable side effects from it other than a bit of a sore arm and maybe a low-grade fever for the first 24 hours, for which you can take acetaminophen.
You can book your flu shot on the Click Santé website. If you already have had your shot and paid for it, the government will not be reimbursing you. The federal health minister says a previously announced import of children's pain relievers is already hitting pharmacy shelves, and more are expected over the next few weeks. Jean-Yves Duclos made the announcement during a briefing in Ottawa today. He says domestic production is also on the rise.
A record number of children's analgesics are currently being manufactured across the country, with some companies producing twice as many units as they did at the same time in 2021.
Duclos says a million units of imported pain relievers are hitting shelves and an additional 500,000 units have been ordered. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at CJAD800. Your Dormez-vous Weather Center forecast. Our freezing rain warning has been lifted. We will see periods of rain end this afternoon. It'll be cloudy and windy for the rest of the day with a high of 6. Mainly cloudy and still windy overnight. The low, -2. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud and 7. Periods of rain with a high of 8 on Sunday. Right now, raining and plus 4 in downtown Montreal. For all the news during the day, stream us on your smart speaker. Just say play CJAD 800. Your next CTV News update at 11:30.
Montrealers' favorite fine furniture store is Mobile Art Decor. For over 30 years, Mobile Art has been the best source of exceptional, top-quality luxury furniture, custom upholstery, and accessories for lighting and design that will inspire and motivate you. Imported from Europe and around the world for every room and every taste. For a truly unique experience, professional interior design advice, and great service, visit Mobile Art, 8260 Devonshire, west of DeCary, mobileart.ca.
During Cora's Benedictine Festival, if you're feeling hungry like a wolf, you're going to love our steak with poached eggs and spicy cheesy hollandaise sauce. If you're feeling hungry like a wolf who's a vegetarian, the Beyond Meat Benedict is for you. And if you're feeling hungry like a wolf with a sweet tooth, go for our poached eggs Benedict on a kale waffle. There are 5 new meals to satisfy your hunger.
I do breakfast at Cora's Breakfast and Lunch Benedictine Festival, only until January 1st.
Straight talk, round tables, great guests. This is Elias Makos on CJAD 800.
Welcome to the third hour of the Elias Makos show. And what a show it has been. Just about an hour ago, we heard from the new Montreal police chief, Fadi Daguerre. He joined us on the program. And we also, when we were speaking with the new police chief, we touched on the fact that the Quebec government announcing this morning that they're going to appeal the Quebec Superior Court racial profiling ruling that banned random police stops. And what did the next police chief of this city say on this, on CJAD 800? Well, he told all of you that, in fact, he had testified in this court case on the government side that he is in favor of police stops, but not racial profiling. He's not in favor of that, but he says it's a tool that needs to remain. Now, oh, we have a clip of that, in fact. Let's listen to the police chief. This is Fadi Daguerre, just an hour ago on this show.
And I mentioned to the judge that the police needs that article, need the tools to be able to intercept police citizen car, because we want to be able to prevent any consumption of drugs or alcohol, okay? So I try to explain to him that we should find ways of training our police officers to combat unconscious bias that leads to the racial profiling, social profiling. Well, he decided otherwise, and you know what? I understand him, because there were so many victims. And I have to respect all those victims, because I was a victim of racial profiling also.
So that's a more nuanced view than just random stops is racial profiling, end of story. Now let's hear from the government. Let's hear from the minister responsible for the fight against racism. Part of the announcement this morning, right, that the government's going to appeal. Christopher Skeet joins us on the program. Mr. Skeet, welcome back to the show.
How are you doing, Elias? Nice to be back.
Okay, so it's great to have you on, and I guess this is a major announcement here. We expected an appeal, but every time this story is broached, I hear from people that say that just appealing means that the government wants racial profiling, that the government's for racism, and I'm not of that opinion, but I hear it all the time here. So you heard from the police chief with his answer. Why don't you explain the government's view here? Why the government, why your government will appeal this ruling?
Well, it's a multifaceted answer. So thanks for giving me the time to get into it. Article 636, which is what was, repealed by the judge's decision, is basically a tool in the highway safety code. It basically allows police officers to check, because we forget sometimes, but driving in Quebec is a privilege. And it's a privilege that is based on whether or not you've gone to driving school, whether or not you abstain from drinking and driving. So these are the rules that go with that privilege. 636 gives police the right, the authority to check to make sure that you are actually in compliance of the law. Now, 636, though, and this is what sometimes people forget, is one of many tools that police officers have, but eliminating 636 does not eliminate racial profiling. If a cop wants to racially profile you, they have any number of tools that they can use to do so. So if we remove Article 636, we're denying ourselves the ability to verify for drunk driving, for driving while under the influences of drugs, or you know, a minor's permit and things like that. Yet at the same time, not necessarily abolishing racial profiling. So we believe that the tool is an important tool for public safety. And yes, racial profiling needs to be eradicated, but that's not the vehicle to do it.
Okay, so let's talk about that aspect of it, right? Because as we're talking, I have a text message from a listener on that very front, right? Random stops usually involve the police pulling you over for no reason, telling you the same pathetic lie, there was a robbery, you fit the description. It's a horrible feeling. It's not right. It's Montreal's dirty secret. It needs to be stopped, right? So, Christopher, how do we stop, you know, that horrible feeling that too many Quebecers have felt? Pulled over, they feel no reason. They feel I'm driving while black. That's why I'm being pulled over. How do we stop that?
Well, first, I would say that it's not Montreal's dirty secret. It's a dirty secret that's existed for far too long in many jurisdictions, be they in Canada or in the U.S. or anywhere, really. So this is not a Montreal problem. It's a policing problem that has existed for a while. Racial profiling, I think, stems from the lack of training, confirmation bias, a lack of sensitivity and empathy towards the way that people might be feeling when they are being pulled over. So there's a lot of things there. It's a big package. We can do so by better training the police officers that we have. We've already injected $1 million to enhance that training. And that was following our action group to fight against racism that we launched in 2019, which is, by the way, the reason why we have a minister today for the fight against racism. It was one of the recommendations of that action plan. So there's a multitude of things that we can do. But let's be clear. Somebody who wants to racially profile you, even with this judgment, can continue to do so in any number of ways. It would be they, you're driving in the 50 zone and you're going 50.5 or 51, and they can pull you over if they feel like pulling you over. So I think what we need to do is to concentrate on what it is that we want. What we want is for racial profiling in society to go away. There's a lot of ways to do that. And 636 is a tool that helps us do all kinds of other good policing things. So let's not do away with the tool. Let's do away with the behavior that we don't want. Elias, here's an example. A hammer is a very effective tool for hammering nails, but it could also be used to hurt people. We're not going to ban hammers. We're going to address the people. We're going to address the problem that is people using hammers to hurt people. I think that's what we need to focus on in society, and I think that's the best way forward.
Let me read you here, Chris. This is a tweet from a Liberal MP. And it was sent out a few hours ago, and I've highlighted it on my Twitter. It's from Greg Fergus, right? He's the MP for Hall Aylmer. He's black, like yourself, he's black. And he just tweeted this, right, a few hours ago, on this, on the news that that your government's going to appeal this case. He tweets this: I hope this gets to the Supreme Court of Canada so we can put an end to this odious, and then he uses the quotes, the air quotes, the quotes, we can get rid of this odious tool across the entire country. This is an MP. This is a Liberal MP. He's a black man, and he thinks this tool, this 636, well, that's an odious tool. How do you respond to that?
Well, firstly, I've met Greg, and I think he's a great guy. On this, I think we disagree. I think we can fight racism without denying ourselves of the tool. And I think what I would say to Greg, if we were sitting down together, I'd say, well, Greg, what's preventing police officers who are not well-intentioned from continuing this odious behavior, notwithstanding the fact that we don't have 636? And the answer, unfortunately, is nothing, which is why I think it's simplistic to, on the one side, deny ourselves this very good policing tool that actually saves lives, right? If I think of the number of lives that we've saved just by police doing verifications for drunk driving, I would say that I'm not sure that we understand the full scope of denying ourselves of this tool. But, you know, I agree with Greg when he says that racial profiling is hurtful and it's odious in that aspect, but I'm not sure that eliminating 636 gets the job done.
Okay, so Chris, let me ask you about what your government will do. You know, you're the minister for the fight against racism. I know there's been some movement before you became the minister here. What can you tell Quebecers this morning on the end of ending the racial profiling, that aspect, the confirmation bias, all that kind of stuff? What is your government going to do on that end?
Well, you know, I think it bears reminding that our government in 2019, after the death of Mr. Floyd, we enacted the Action Group Against Racism. 3 months of consultations after numerous reports that were tabled before that, I might add, we in 3 months came out with 25 concrete actions that we wanted to do that would help us move the needle on the fight against racism. Number one was eliminating racial profiling and what's called des interpellations aléatoires. We believe that that is a huge contributor to the public distrust. So we're on the same page with everybody that says that that needs to stop. Where we disagree is in the method. But we also, in that report, talked about how police officers need to have patrols with sociologists and people who understand the nuances of working in urban areas in different communities, be they homeless communities, be they people with high rates of mental illness or racialized communities. So we actually said that in our report, and we've actually deployed those committees, those dual policing patrols. They're already going on right now. We also talked about ending housing discrimination. We talked about recognizing people's diplomas. I think society needs to move on these important issues, and that will get us where we need to go. Police need to be better trained. They need to understand that if they're going to be police officers in 2022, that is no longer acceptable and that we need to move forward. And I think what we need to do as a government is be crystal clear, like we have been and continue to be clear, and also tell the police officers that that's no longer acceptable in 2022.
Christopher, I want to thank you for being generous with your time on a day that I know is busy with this news, and thanks for coming on and speaking to our listeners. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Elias. Take care.
That's Christopher Skeet. He's the MNA, of course, for St. Rose, and he's the minister responsible for the fight against racism. When we return on the Elias Matko Show, we're going to tell you about a legal battle that involves Taylor Swift. Now, you know you're more likely to get into Harvard than get tickets to see Taylor Swift, and that has led to a big court battle against Ticketmaster and Live Nation. We're going to take a look at that case coming up next. Let's do some traffic, 11:18, and here with the latest is Catherine Wood.
Pretty big accident right now on the 40 westbound at the Sources entrance in the West Island. The on-ramp's closed.